You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Australian Survivor.
Survivor New Zealand.
Survivor. Survivor. Survivor.
21 South Africans. 12 ordinary Australians.
16 New Zealanders.
£1 million.
Hello everyone, Shannon Guss here, getting you ready for our week one exit interview coverage for Survivor South Africa Return of the Outcast. So spoilers incoming, because I will be talking about our eliminated contestants, because we are talking to those eliminated contestants. So first up, you will hear me talk to Chappies, and then about 23 minutes in, you will hear Mike talk to Tanya. So at the moment, we couldn't get the schedules to align for PK, but we are hoping to get that content in the next couple of days if we can. So if we can get that, we'll make it like a separate part two exit interview podcast. So keep an eye on the feed, subscribe as always, keep an eye on our social media as well, where we will put that content out if we can get it. But thank you guys so much for listening as always. Hope you've checked out the recap, almost 4 hours of coverage. How could we not? It was a great first week. So I hope you enjoy these interviews as well, and I will see you on the other side. Chappies, I'm so happy to be talking to you, but then I'm so devastated. I am heartbroken for me, for the season, for the fans. Like, this is just, I'm just so devastated about it.
Oh, Shad, yeah, I must also say, I didn't think I'm going to speak to you this early, you know, but I had a date with Destiny, and we didn't know what Destiny looks like, you know, and now I know what she looks like and how beautiful she is. You know, I wouldn't change a thing about her, even though it was quite hard to face her. It's going to be, we can understand where she fits into the bigger picture within a few years.
Yeah. I mean, I love the way that you approach things and that you look at everything. It really is just always so great to hear your perspectives on things, and always makes me evaluate how I'm looking at things. So for sure. I mean, you came in with this big threat and this big like target on your back because you were Chappies and it was so recent, and you know, everyone's thinking about Chappies, and I think that it really did stand out. So it was very unfortunate that it was so early, but Masu are, as we've seen, a little crazy. So they're going to make the big moves, but so many questions to ask. What were the vibes on the beach when you first got there? Like, where did you see like the initial relationships and the real sense of the dynamics from your perspective?
Yeah, the vibes were crazy from the start, in the sense that people were scrambling right from the get-go. And I foresaw that this is going to be so emotionally draining if I just have to go and make sure that I'm in every group and I find out what's going on from everyone. So I kind of pulled up the handbrake and just let them mingle. And now and then I would tap into some of the kingpins and find out some of the information. But the one thing that was really clear and obvious when we landed on the beach is them out of world relationships, out of the game relationships, you know? And you could really just see those people kind of stuck together. Most of the time, they stuck together. It's like you can't help it. It's a natural gravitation towards the people that you've now built a relationship for, with, you know, and people that were in your season for the other guys. I'm speaking for the other groups. So that was clear as day that, you know, those guys are going to stick together, but there was still chaos. It's like just, yeah, it was so tiring from day one that people, they were scrambling as if we are going to a tribal council on the first day.
Yeah, there was a lot going on for sure. I mean, you mentioned the word kingpin. Who did you see as really driving it in that like kingpin position?
Yeah, so I thought Dante is a kingpin with between Meryl and himself. Mm-hmm. And then also I assume that Shane is also a kingpin, you know, between him and Marion. And then the other kingpin would be PK. But I didn't have a lot of communication from him because I kind of sometimes felt that he's seeing me as a threat. So I kind of, you know, kept my distance there. So every now and then I would pop in that Shane and Dante, just find out what's going on. And obviously then my close alliance member, Steffi, and then I would be updated like that. But yeah, that's also might also be why I didn't, why the info that I'm on the block didn't reach my ears because I selected the wrong kingpins.
Yeah, I'm so interested in those names that you gave. I mean, Shane was one that concerned me pre-season. I know that maybe there was like a little bit of like no love lost, just like from social media stuff and just like off the island. But then you were aligned in what we saw and he was like campaigning to keep the Breakfast Club together. Can you please tell me what that meeting was like and how that relationship evolved in the time that you were on the island?
It's actually so beautiful. That's what I love about the game of Survivor. People have this perception about you when they see you play, and you have a perception about them when you see them play on the game. And when Shane and I arrived on the island, we kind of had the synergy that we both troublemakers in a good way. And we might be a very unlikely alliance. So he was my first little alliance, Mr. Shane, you know, where I said, okay, listen, this is unlikely, so let's maybe do it. And he's like, yes, I'm in. And strange enough, we actually connected. And looking back now, I'm kind of regret that I didn't have his back as he had mine, you know, because if I told him, listen, they told me they're going to vote you, he might have went to go drop a bomb so that some information might have surfaced. But yeah, so right from the bat, I had a synergy with Shane, even though I knew what was going on and what he thought of me. But I think the idea of who he thought I was and what he's experienced is completely different. And I can't wait for him to say what his perception and his experience was when we listen to him some other time.
Oh my God. Well, that makes me so happy. I think that has to be part of the destiny that you two could meet up and get on the same page just to make me happy, just to have two of my favorites really, you know, get in check and be friends, because that just makes my heart happy for sure. And you mentioned Steffi, you had that out of game relationship that was a really close bond for you. So can you talk about like the experience you had with her and how that then also evolved onto the beach?
Yeah. No, from day one, when I saw on the beach, I'm like, ooh, there's my number one, you know? And I was so happy that she was in my tribe. And I was willing to go right to the end with her. I don't think I would have ever been able to cut her throat. But we've got such a, you know, I've got such a deep love and appreciation for her as a human being and as a player. You know, and she's the one person that I can also say she's changed since she's played the first time. The first time it was all about winning and competitiveness and losing would mean the end of the world. This time I saw she came in with a much more warm, softer energy, still serious and there to play the game. But she was like, you know, it was like as if she was just a bit softer. But I was ready to go the extra miles with her. But we kind of kept it people knew that we were friends, but they didn't know how close we were. And, you know, at some stages, I would really just like to give her a hug and, you know, so that we can kind of comfort each other and tell each other it's going to be okay. But you kind of don't do that because you don't want people to see how close you guys are. But yeah, I was so happy to see her there. And I knew if she's by my side and I can't see her stabbing me in the back and I can't see myself stabbing her in the back.
Mm-hmm. And then Dante, you mentioned we see kind of like the Aquaman battle and this, you know, early alliance that then does go south. What was the connection like with him?
Yeah, the connection with Dante was really real, you know. Yeah, he's such a cool individual. And I really wanted to get to know him a bit better. So I never had the intention to slice him as well. You know, I wanted to really get to know him better. And I also foresaw how we could make some great TV moving forward if we had the opportunity.
Aquaman.
Because I really love Aquaman, yeah.
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 Who doesn't love to
you
see
know,
it?
And we've got so many similarities in the sense that we're both active, we both love swimming, we both love fishing, you know, being out in nature. He's a very, secluded individual. He wants to stay alone and so. And I also sometimes get those moments where I just want to be alone, but he just takes it next level, you know. And so there was so many things that I could relate with him. And I really thought that's going to be enough to secure our relationship so I can move further. But I think deep down, Dante knew that he's not my number one. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why he decided then to gun for me.
Mm-hmm. Were there any other relationships that stick out for you in those early days, either positive or negative, socially in what you were doing?
Yeah. Well, with the other all castaways in my tribe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Dante and Marion, they were really close for some strange reason. I think Dante spooned her at night. Maybe she was just so warm in his big arms, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had quite a connection that was obvious for me. And then Tony and PK were like two bums, you know. They were inseparable, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then Palesa was kind of on the outs for me with Tony and PK. I thought they're going to be a bit closer, the three of them would play together, you know, but she wasn't as close for me to Tony and PK as Tony and PK were to each other.
Mm-hmm.
That is it. And yes, strange enough, Steffi and Shane also had a beautiful connection.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I can just imagine Steffi, Shane, and myself going to final, you know, to a final or final three or whatever.
Yeah, and another timeline that I want to be in. That sounds amazing. But where did it happen where you became the Breakfast Club? Like, how did this relationship form? Where, I mean, like, look, it looks pretty legitimate. Like, they get back to it after they're done dealing with you. So, like, how did this group come together and then leave the other four out? How did you see the dynamics forming in that way?
I think it was a combination of coincidence. And I'll say now why coincidence and previous relationships, outside relationships. So coincidence because the four people just weren't there the morning. Tony, Palesa, Jean, and PK, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then I woke up next to the fire and everyone's, good morning, like, do you want some breakfast? And then we're like, oh, this is a breakfast club, the breakfast bunch, you know. And it's the six of us where it's myself and Steffi who's got a relationship, Dante and Meryl's got a relationship, Shane and Marion. And it's like, beautiful. We've got the numbers here. If we stick to this, we can lose the next four immunity challenges and we're fine.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so happy when we formed the Breakfast Club because I thought, okay, this is my way into the first swap. And that's what you want to do. This is my way just to stay another day. It's just in this six, you know. And, unfortunately, it looks like the breakfast just burned within a few minutes, you know.
Yeah, I said folded like an omelet, but I like yours also works.
Folded like an omelet, yeah.
So let's talk about the digging, because I feel like that was such a big focal point of the episode. How did it come to be that you and Steffi were, like, again, I think maybe the thing is, Chappie, that you should sleep more. Like, the problem is that you never sleep, so you're always doing the shenanigans, like, maybe take a nap. But you and Steffi were digging, and it seems to be a focal point. So how did that come about?
You know, the strange thing, Shan, is everyone dug at some of it, some point in time.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, if people want to shine the flashlight on you, they're going to shine it on you, whether you're digging in your nose or whether you're digging in the ground for an idol, they're going to find the reason to make sure that they put you out. No, so, but anyway, I noticed the signs on the trees because Shane actually told me, this is signs on the trees. Yeah.
Yeah.
Off these are already dug, you know.
Right.
And I think Marion told him, if I'm not mistaken. And I was like, okay, cool. But there's two. And then my mind was racing all the time. What does this mean? Now I'm looking for another one, a third sign, because if there's three trees, it might be in the middle of the three, but I couldn't find another one. I'm like, if there's two trees or signal signs, it's either buried at one of the trees or it's right in the middle. And then I couldn't wait to start digging in that in the middle, just to satisfy this question that's in my head. It's as if the producers laid this trap there for me. And now I've got to sleep in a camp where the eyelids most probably knocking on the door when I put my head on the ground. You know, and I just couldn't sleep. It's like, if I know there's a problem that I can solve, I try and go at it as much as hard as possible until I get a solution. Well, until I'm so drained that I've got to go to bed and wake up tomorrow and maybe try and solve it again. And it's the same with this idol. I had to just find it. So I freaking dug a trench and Steffi saw me digging and I, you know, told her to come and help me. Dante saw me digging and he said, what are you doing? I said, we're digging for the idol. Help us.
Right.
And he dug a little bit, and then he went to go wake up Palesa, if I remember correctly. You know, so I wasn't the only one digging for the idol.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people were digging. It's just, if you want someone to go, you'll shine the flashlight on them. And if you advocate enough for them to go with a specific reason, they're going to go.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I think that was my case.
Yeah, that ticking idol sounds like the ticking heart and Allan Poe for sure. I can imagine it just like running through your mind.
Yeah.
It's a curse. It's a blessing and a curse. So you know, needing to do everything. It'll get you to the final three, but it'll also put the target on your back. So you said that there might be some other reasons that Dante, you know, would then kind of execute the plan beyond just the digging. Like, what else do you see? Is it just like that huge target on your back, like the clear innate threat level?
Yeah, it's like there's partially. So I would think the main reason is the fact that he wasn't my number one. The second reason is that I'm very unpredictable and he doesn't necessarily like to play with people that's unpredictable. You know,
mm-hmm.
Dante wants to play with people who's predictable. And thirdly, I think I was a threat for Dante with my reputation, you know. And then the idol digging just pushed it over the edge and it was like, no, unpredictable. We don't want to call God yet at night to play call God. He's got to go.
Mm-hmm. So I'm so curious how the name became Shane. I mean, it was the split option with you and in your mind was the primary option, but he'd been part of the Breakfast Club. It wasn't a name I was surprised for, you know, PK or Tony or Palesa or Tasian who had been out. So how did Shane even become a name there when you said you'd been so tight?
Yeah, I think he was perceived as one of the maybe weaker physical players. And I think the reasoning behind it was if Chappie plays an idol, then we won't lose another strong player. We'll just kind of let Shane go. I think that was the reason. I don't know. We'll have to find out from who plays the boat. But I think he was just like a... the secondary option if I had a trick up my sleeve.
Right. But you were told to vote for him because he was seen as weaker physically, right?
Yes, absolutely. And that made sense to me because even though myself and him had an alliance, I noticed that he wasn't on the ins with all the other people. So he was kind of, he was only on the in with Marion,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then she didn't tell him the truth. But where I actually had red flags or red bells ringing in my ears was when I called Marion at some stage and I said, listen, you know, so aren't we voting PK? And then she's like, oh, no, we're voting Shane. And there I should have known. Blood is thicker than water. She won't necessarily vote out Shane that quickly. You know, so I should have known there. And that's why where I was blinded by my own optimism. She just, you know, I should have known. Red lights, red flags. Why will Marion vote for Shane? Why would she do that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I didn't see that. So, yo, what was your question, Shane?
No, it was just about how the name became Shane. But no, I think you've answered that with a lot of clarity.
Yeah.
And then you said as well, you said it in the episode about the red flags, like not just after the fact, like you saw that with Dante, but was it that optimism that allowed the blindside to happen? Like, is that really where you feel that you had the red flags, but you put them aside?
It was the optimism and was the fact that I thought Shane, I didn't know Shane that well. So I didn't know how honest this guy actually was in the first place. And I knew that he wasn't so well connected with all the rest of the players. So I kind of, his voice didn't, wasn't that strong in my opinion, you know? And I was like, okay, here are Shane's the same. He thinks Dante is going to jump, but it makes sense. And this is coincidental again, because Dante did jump in my opinion to the other side because he wanted to vote out Shane. It makes sense to me. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, you know what, Shane, you actually heard Greg, but he's jumping the other side to vote you out.
Yeah.
And that's why I believe you, but I know why Dante's jumping, because he wants to vote you out. Meanwhile, back at the ranch,
mm-hmm.
he had his, his eyes on me.
Yeah. And then what about sending Shane and Steffi to the outpost? Obviously, two of your closest allies. Then it ends up with Tevin coming to the tribal council. Like, did you have any thoughts around that whole wrinkle in that first vote?
Oh, yeah. Yes, I think that's one of the scenarios that I kind of replay over in my head again. Because I was happy that Shane and Steffi went, because I knew I was going to get exactly the info mm-hmm. from Steffi. And but I actually wish that Tanya got the idol, because I believe Tanya would have played it for me, just because we've got some connection as well. You know, this just love her to bit. She's such a cool person, but I think she would have not necessarily listened to her tribe, because she's someone that would do what she wants to. And she might have, I think she saw that I might have been a big threat in my tribe, and she might have played it for me. But with a Thevin case, if I had the slightest idea that I'm going to be voted out, I would have loved to create some drama at tribal. So imagine this. I stand up and I go sit right next to Thevin and I whisper in his ear, because I got some information that I'm on the block, and I tell him, listen, I'm on the block tonight. If you want to cause chaos and split up this tribe and weaken us, please play that idol for me tonight, and I will make sure we lose every immunity challenge.
Ooh, I love it.
And that would have been so dramatic, you know. And then I would have gone back to camp. I would have dug for that idol in front of everyone in broad daylight, made sure I'd get another idol so that I'm safe for the next immunity challenge. But, you know, because we're going to lose it, I'm going to make sure we lose it in some other way. But, it's just a hypothetical scenario that I kind of play over my head. Like, you know, if that information reached my ears, it would have been beautiful TV. It would have been beautiful drama. But it unfortunately didn't. And there's a lot of things that could have happened that didn't. That also gives me kind of closure, or, you know, or just I'm content why it worked out that way, because there was a lot of opportunities to still keep me in the game. But destiny did not want me to stay longer than round one.
Mm-hmm. Well, Chappies, I love how your mind is always running through the plans. Don't give away all your secrets, because I know that you'll be back again, if not multiple times. Like, you are absolutely a legend, an icon of the global franchise, and nothing can ever take that away. And, you know, we absolutely adore you on this podcast. Always a thrill to chat to you, not necessarily in these circumstances, but yeah, just great to talk again. And I love your outlook on everything, and just wishing you all the best.
Thank you, beautiful Shan. Once again, appreciate what you guys do for us. And thank you for all your love and support, bro.
Thanks so much, Chappies. Be well. Bye.
Okay, you too, Shan. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Tanya, hello.
Yay! Well, yay or nay or both.
I mean, I'll consider it a yay. Any excuse to talk to you is a yay in my book. I'm happy in many ways the stars are able to align to talk today. I don't know if this was in the astral planner, but it's here right now.
Thanks. I didn't check, but I'll look afterwards.
I did see, by the way, in your Back to Reality video that you're like, yeah, I don't even remember what the astral planner was supposed to say. Like, how much of that went up in smoke when you got there?
Well, I actually tried to learn it while I was in quarantine because I thought, well, I've got, you know, 7 days to do it. No problem. I mean, it's only like 50 days that I have to remember. Yeah, that's not so easy. I remember, by the time I started the game with all the adrenaline and everything, I could only remember the first 5 days.
I mean, that was, you know, 5 out of the 7 days you played. So that also helps.
Maybe that was, well, that's it. Maybe it was a little prophetic. And you know what? On day 5, it said, don't let the bitches get you down.
Wait, did it really say that?
I swear to God.
Oh,
I knew it was coming. I knew that day was coming. And you know, you just, it's life. You actually can't stop it. It's not a game. It's life. It's life that you're playing within a game. Oh my God. So there you go. All the best laid plans.
Well, to that point, it was so interesting to hear your perspective, especially in the last couple episodes, right? About this idea of, in my life, I stand up for things. How can I be respected or respect myself if I don't do this? I know that when you talk with Shannon in the preseason, like, you really took this quote from Jean-Michel to heart of don't park your humanity. What is your take on that concept now that you have sort of put it into practice in this season? Do you think life and the game can be separated in terms of those morals and values?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, what I needed to understand is we were playing a game. It wasn't life. And I was stupid to speak up. For 2 million, I was. And Dino, in my exit video, when he held up my name at Tribal, he said, you know, I'd love to stand with you, but not for 2 million. And that's a valid point, you know. The reality is I'm not playing a game. It's Tanya coming in. And at the end of the day, I can't stop those kind of feelings. And that's why that quote of Jean's just resonated with me, because that's what I'm about. No matter how hard things get, you know, blame the game, don't blame the players. You know, we're supposed to lie. And the reality is I'm probably not meant for Survivor. Can you stop me playing? Absolutely not. If they invite me back again, back to back, I'm there. Can I win it? Probably not. Does it matter? No. I'm a winner. I played.
So what I found so interesting was you mentioned the Dino confessional. We did have several people, your Dinos, your Tevins, your Felixes, say in confessional, well, maybe I would keep Tanya around if there's like an argument she's able to make, a rabbit she's able to pull out of her hat. Did you get a sense that there were people that were interested in keeping you, or was it, in your opinion, very open and shut? Everyone wants me gone.
You know, this is interesting. This is the first person who's actually asked me this question, and you're spot on there. It was only after watching them, and that was at about 11:30 last night, which was like 5 hours after it aired, that I saw those exit speeches. If I'd have known, I would have fought harder. But I didn't know. I thought it was an all out nine against one. I did not think there was a crack there at all, to be honest. The only thing I thought I could do is maybe just scare Pinty into doing something stupid by implying that I might have an idol. That was it.
Yeah, is that what sort of your final words were? Just an effort to say, oh, you never know what could happen, instead of just an outright plea to the tribe?
Yeah, unfortunately, it was just a little bit of that. But yeah, I thought it was a straight 9-9-0 or 9-1 rather. So yeah, that was interesting to see. But you know, in hindsight, every game like this, you can sit back afterwards and say, shouldn't have done that, shouldn't have done that, shouldn't have done that. But you know, it's going to be what it's going to be. And I thoroughly enjoyed the ride. I love the game. I love the game.
Well, let's get back, even rewinding further, into everything that was going on at the Yontau camp, because you were very upfront and adamant about the fact of, I know I'm on the bottom. I know I'm on the outs. I know I'm going home. Yeah, I'm not offended if you call me the weakest. That's why they put the votes on me. I mean, did you get a sense around camp that people were seeing you that way, or was it more so an assumption you were making about yourself? Like, was there any behaviors you were picking up on from anybody else that indicated to you that you were on the bottom?
In the first 5 days, no. It's just an assumption. And in some ways that was also to, you know, when I made the comment about, I think it was about the outpost idol. And I said, well, you know, I probably would have been the first voted out. When I said that, I didn't believe that. I believed Shona would actually be on the vote, because I had a informal sort of group that I was with. So I did think I was safe when I said that. It was more to, you know, allay any fears that other people might have that they weren't on the in. But in fact, maybe I spelt my doom there, because that's exactly what happened.
I want to talk more about that configuration, because what I noticed from those vote, you know, call outs that you mentioned before is that Tevin did say, I wasn't in your seven. And we saw you making making alliances upon alliances. Was there a seven for you? Tell me more about this group that you had come up with in the first 5 days.
Okay, well, it wasn't supposed to be a group, and I was supposed to like put on the brakes a bit.
Mm-hmm.
The moment I got to the beach, like my first confessional, the moment I got there, I saw Teresa and Pinty going off, and they were both players that I would play with. I like them both, and I respect them out of the game. So I made a beeline for them, so that if they were talking something, you know, I mean, stupid me, and this is where my lack of Survivor intelligence comes in. I actually didn't even realize they were on the same season.
Oh,
I knew they both played, but I don't put dates and times. And I mean, to me, they could have been one on six and one on eight.
Save the dates for the astro planner.
Exactly. So I immediately connected with the two of them and say, hey, listen, girls, you know, if you're doing something, I'd love to play with two strong women. I admire you both. They both went, yup. And I thought, cool. Don't need to mention it again. Don't need to mention it. And then around the camp, later on that day, I talked about it. And I realized I'd talked about it and Kalani was sitting next to me.
Oh, no.
So Kalani came in as a four. I mean, I had to cover my back there because, I mean, I just mentioned it and the wrong girl was sitting next to me. And then Felix and Dino were two connections because of outside of the game. But both of them were supposed to be sort of, don't say anything and I'm not going to ruin your game if I get into trouble. I was fully aware of the fact that I was, you know, likely not to be on the top. Let's just put it politely. And there was no way I was going to sacrifice Felix's game, for example, with him being aligned with me. But at the same time, it was an understanding that I would know what was happening. And I did. You know, that hug just before I went off to tribal, I think, was very telling from Felix. It wasn't a quick cheers, you know, good luck sort of thing. It was a heartfelt, I'm so sorry, I can't save you tonight. So that was the initial six. The seventh came in through nothing of mine and it hasn't been aired in any way. So I'm not even going to mention it. And it obviously wasn't relevant, but it was a very informal group made within the first couple of hours of being in camp. And the moment it was made, we talked about this humanity thing because people had gone through hard times. You know, the first boots, Felix had got such a bad press. And that shocked me because Felix and I actually had a long chat at our final and totally put our season to rest there. And
wow,
I came into this game full of love. When I saw Felix on my tribe, I was like, yay. So hearing people's stories, people swearing at Seamus in the mall, you know, who does that? And that made me realize more than anything that we did need to play with humanity. It is a game. So the fact that I had what I thought, and it wasn't about me, because I thought the moment the connections are made, I'll step back and let somebody else lead the group. I wasn't interested in that. But I thought the moment we had that group, you don't need to like rub it in other people's faces, because there were obviously three people who weren't included. Shona, Tevin and Phil. It wasn't a case of like making out that this group was strong or anything like that. I don't even know if this group got off the ground because we didn't talk strategy for the next 5 days. And on day six, I believed it was a 9-1. So I've got no idea if any of that group actually is together at all. I mean, Yuan Tao is not talking strategy.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about that because at least in those first three episodes, right, we really got a sense of Kumbaya. And as Seamus puts in episode four, it really was the calm before the storm. So was that true? Were you really getting the sense that for those first 6 days, there was really no game talk happening?
Mike, you're actually asking the wrong person, aren't you? Because if there was game talk, I wasn't privy to it.
Right.
What I'm seeing on TV is what I saw.
Yeah,
privy to more of it. And it does look like there was no game talk. So I hope they do step up and, you know, I'm proudly Yuan Tao and I definitely want somebody from my tribe to go ahead and go far into this game. I want them all to make, you know, jury because that was our goal as a collective. We all wanted to get to a place where we'd never been before. So I hope they do go. I hope they do go far, Pinty included.
On that Pinty note, so when do things start to sour a bit? When you start getting more of a negative opinion about Pinty? Was it as simple as you start noticing her taking more rights? Were there other incidents?
Yeah, it started on day one. You know, if we made that alliance in the first, or that, let's call it a Tanya alliance in those little, because, you know, probably within 2 hours of that. No, in fact, it couldn't have been because we didn't have fire that night. So the very next night when we had Flint, we got the rice going. And the very first time we ate, I saw it. In fact, no, it was before that because it was the pineapple. The pineapple was the first story. We'd found a couple of these pineapples that definitely weren't ripe and Pinty wanted us to eat them all. and we said one. But I've had some reflection. Woohoo! And, you know, in hindsight, Pinty came from a season in the middle of COVID and they were given a ton of food.
Yeah.
That's her survivor experience. My survivor experience was before COVID and we got bugger all. You know, we had one the chipolata size sort of banana a day per person. It was a totally different thing. So I think I was coming in it with my food experience on my season, knowing that you ration everything. We had nothing else at that point. We only had a few sort of green pineapples. And Pinty was maybe coming in thinking we're going to get given food. So maybe that's why she was a bit more food preoccupied, because there's no way she could, or there's no way she can sustain that kind of hangryism. And the pineapple issue wasn't aimed at me. It was aimed at Shona and someone else. But Pinty had these little stabs at everybody. It was just, I was vocal enough to summarize it. But I certainly wasn't the only person who experienced it. It wasn't like
you.
I've seen a lot of comments about bullying. And, you know, I think that's too strong a word here. Number one, it is a game. Maybe this is part of Pinty's gameplay. And when she gets voted out, we can ask her that. But, you know, the bottom line is that everybody felt the way I felt to some degree. So it wasn't the whole tribe picking on me, and it wasn't Pinty just going for me. Pinty went for me more often because I was vocal about it. But everyone was on eggshells, not just me.
When you bring up later to Shona and Teresa and Killarney this idea of she's the alpha female, you know, you're playing a cowardly game if you let her get to the end. Were you actually believing that, or was this your attempt to make that crack that you had spoken about?
Oh, no, I was just desperate to do absolutely anything at that point. I would have grabbed on any straw. And in fact, I went on to allude that this part of the story is true. I also lied about that, you know, they'd made some alliance with somebody else. I went to Tevin and said, yeah, they said you're next on the block. And no, I went and caused a little bit of chaos there because I was desperate. I mean, I just heard them, of which two of those, Shona was not in my group at all. But to hear Teresa and Killarney, you know, was a neither nor for me. Teresa was my choice of person to play with. So to hear Teresa even be part of that threesome, and that's where I found out it's all of us. That felt I didn't have a single vote in my camp. And in some ways, that's where I stopped fighting. My last little fight was that little spat. And then I said, I'm not going to panic in my last day. I'm not going to let this get to me. I'm going to go fishing and I'm going to have a good time. And what I have to say, you know, I'll say it tribal, but, you know, people had whispered, you're going home, and unfortunately there's nothing you can do.
Speaking of Teresa, you are someone who decides to attempt to take the fall, at least, of, oh, there are rumors that she said that Tevin had an idol. No, I was the one that spread it. What made you decide to do that? Was that informed by, as you mentioned before, how tight you felt with her in those first couple days?
Yes, partly. And secondly, Tevin wasn't part of our loose seven, so I didn't really care what he thought. I was going to be a target anyway, so, you know, target with Pinty.
Yeah, I know that in your confessionals you said, all right, I'm just going to sit back and observe. That happened for all of 20 minutes. What made that happen? Yeah, was it just you had to get to work on the camp and that natural Tanya-ness came out? Was it just you settling back into the survivor groove? Like, what do you credit to you kind of defaulting back to your season 7 mode in season 9?
That was seeing, and it was on the TV, that was seeing Pinty and Teresa walk out of the camp. We were going to go get fire. Two of them walking out ahead down that path. I thought, here's an opportunity where three, you know, these are two girls that I hadn't considered either of them coming back. But again, I'm not good with names and things. So although I'd watched seasons, you know, I wasn't sure who was who in the zoo. But just seeing those two girls, strong women walking down that path, I thought, here's an opportunity to make a threesome. So, yeah, you know, all best plans go out the door.
When it came to the post-merge side of things, because I know you told Shannon before the season, if Meryl and Dante are out here, like, I'd like to make the Secret Alliance, but they might have, you know, some misgivings considering what happened on Ta'alo. Did you have any thoughts about what was going on in the post-merge tribe when you were in the pre-merge? It seemed like we had a lot of conversations amongst the pre-merge tribe of just all the mess that was going on Masu. What was your observation of things that were happening?
It varied. I mean, the first time we got any real clue was when Tevin came back from tribal council. That was really the first clue that things were up in the air. Until then, we did think that there are 10 alphas over there and there's quite a few villains over there. And, you know, the moment we saw the Chappies vote, we realized they were going full guns. They were going the meatiest first. And we assumed the same when PK went. So they were definitely going straight for the jugular. But we didn't realize quite how chaotic things were. We could see that because I think in retrospect, watching the two of us, you know, playing the games, we were super organized. Mm-hmm. We knew exactly who was doing what job when and in what order. And we weren't playing with egos. And this was part of the sort of the camaraderie that was part of our tribe. It was the respect of don't put your hand up just because you want to be a hero. Put your hand up because you genuinely think you're going to be the best at that task. And it just worked really well. I think we were really cohesive and they were a mess. And we could see that in the challenges. But oh, what a feeling. Mike, that feeling when we bloody won. It was God almighty. It was huge. And it wasn't by chance. It was a really convincing win. That did huge things to our morale. Absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, the last thing I want to ask is you really did go out with your head held high. You went out with no regrets. Definitely this attitude of like, I won by being here. Are those the moments that you look back on, those moments as triumphant as a tribe, even if that tribe might have been unified in voting you out, just the unification of Yantau? Is that what you walk out of the game really thinking about in terms of your survivor experience?
Yeah, I think what people won't see is that I really did make personal connections this time round. And I made those personal connections with everybody in my tribe, including Pinty. And, you know, the moments you play the game, we didn't play the game for the first 5 days. We made friends for those first 5 days, and every single one of us would have each other's back in a bad situation. Every single one of us would be there. And that's a feeling that I come out with that I never had in my first season. When I came out of my first season, I felt like small change. I certainly didn't realize because I was so computer illiterate. I had no idea that people even liked Tanya. I thought I'd brought shame on my friends and family. I hung my head low. I stood outside at the finale. I didn't even go and greet other players because I thought they're so much bigger than me. Who am I? And yet, actually going to the season 8 finale, when I was in there and Santini and Carla and a couple of the girls, and they're going, oh my God, it's Tanya. And I'm like, me? And that was genuinely the first time I realized that there were people out there who had enjoyed my experience. I just thought everybody thought I was a really irritating little shit. And let's face it, most people do. And that's okay. That's okay. You know, the people who do know me see that soppy side where I don't even watch a movie that, you know, there's a child or an animal in it in case something bad happens. And I am a volunteer and I am a do-gooder and I can't help that. And I kind of like that. That's Tanya.
That God. Is Tanya.
That's
yeah.
Me.
Well, listen, you know, you ask who is Tanya. We're so happy to know who you are because like no matter what season you play, no matter who you're playing with, you're unapologetically yourself. And listen, I wish we were talking in like 5 weeks when you had a 2 million rand check in your bank account.
Me too.
But I always enjoy any opportunity to get to hear from you because, again, you were just so open in every sense of the word about yourself, about your strengths, about your weaknesses. And this time is no different. Thank you so much for taking, you know, time out of your day. with a lot going on to talk to me about what had been a wild 7 days, a wild week, I would say, in your second season of Survivor.
Well, if you ever want to experience it firsthand, I live in like a very beachy, remote area. I'm sure we could get a few of the players up here and go and sit out in the bush for a few days if you want to experience it firsthand.
There you go. Survivor 9.5 coming soon to YouTube. Well, Tanya, thank you so much again for taking the time to talk with me. All the best to you and the dogs and the family, and looking forward to seeing what happens next.
Yeah, and thank you so much to everybody who does support me. I know I'm that small change player, but every single time somebody makes a nice comment, just it's wonderful, and that's what makes it special. So thank you so much for supporting all of us and for supporting this season especially.
There you have it, everyone. Hope you enjoyed both of those conversations with two absolute legends of the franchise. I think we can all agree on that. And we are hoping to have that conversation with PK as well. So keep an eye on the feed, subscribe, tell your friends, share it. Follow us on social media at Shannon Gaze and at AmyBloomType to get all the content, several hours of recaps, the exit interviews. I also have written recaps on 10 Play. So there are a lot of places where we are giving a lot of thoughts about the season, but we really appreciate all the support, loving the positivity in the community, the excitement around this amazing season as it deserves. And we just really want to thank you as always for being along for the ride with us. So I hope you enjoyed this podcast and we will see you next time. Bye.
Australian Survivor is saying
Survivor New Zealand.
Survivor.
Survivor. Survivor.
21 South Africans.
12 ordinary Australians.
16 New Zealanders.
Give me the
swammer.
£1 million.
Million euro.
Million shekel.
1 million rubli.
Tribe.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.